Translation in purple by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Arjuna's constant remembrance of the lotus feet of Lord Sri Krishna rapidly increased his devotion, and as a result, all the trash in his thoughts subsided. Purple. Material desires in the mind are the trash of material contamination. By such contamination, the living being is faced with so many compatible and incompatible things that discourage the very existence of spiritual identity. Birth after birth, the conditioned soul is entrapped with so many pleasing and displeasing elements, which are all false and temporary. They accumulate due to our reactions to material desires. But when we get in touch with the transcendental Lord in the variegated energies by devotional service, the naked forms of all material desires become manifest, and the intelligence of the living being is pacified in its true color. As soon as Arjuna turned his attention towards the instructions of the Lord as they are inculcated in the Bhagavad Gita, his true color of eternal association with the Lord became manifest, and thus he felt freed from all material contaminations. Om Jnanati Mirandasya Jnananjana Chalakaya Takshurun Miritam Jenam Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha Mukham Karoti Vachalam Bangum Langayate Girim Yad Kripatamaham Vande Ti Gurum Dinatarinam Vanchakalpatarubhyascha Kripasindubhyebhacha Patitanam Bhavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namam. Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Sri Vasudhi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So begging permission from all the assembled Vaishnavas and all those Vaishnavas listening online to be able to speak something on this transcendental subject matter, although not being qualified. So this chapter is very interesting, where Arjuna, he has been to Dwarka, and he has been there for many months, and he's been with Krishna and the Yadus. But now he has returned, and he's speaking to Maharaj Yudhishthir, and he is very, very sad. Arjuna is very sad because his very intimate, dearmost friend, Lord Krishna, has departed from the world, and also so many of his friends and associates, members of the Yadu dynasty, have also departed. But as it was explained earlier in other verses up to this point, this was all the plan of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. It was his plan to bring all those transcendental personalities together for particular purposes, and then to take them away, to unburden the earth of unnecessary defense forces. So this verse here is Arjuna's constant remembrance of the lotus feet of Lord Sri Krishna rapidly increased his devotion, and as a result of all the trash, and as a result, all the trash in his thoughts subsided. So someone was thinking, like, oh, Srila Prabhupada's using the word trash, you know, like that, you know. That's a modern day term, you know, because in Vedic times they didn't have so much trash as they have these days, you know. But so Prabhupada is, he's comparing material desires in the mind to trash, you know. So it says, material desires in the mind are the trash of material contamination, and by such contamination a living being is faced with so many compatible and incompatible things that discourage the very existence of spiritual identity. So this so Arjuna is he's like kind of lamenting. He's also becoming overwhelmed, and he's losing his equilibrium. But when he is remembering his eternal Lord, Sri Krishna, and he's remembering the eternal instructions that were imparted to him in the Bhagavad Gita. So by that remembrance of the Lord and by that remembrance of the instructions imparted by the Lord, then Arjuna again is able to gain some equilibrium and some stability. And he finds that, like it says here, as soon as Arjuna turned his attention towards the instructions of the Lord, as they are inculcated in the Bhagavad Gita, his true color of eternal association with the Lord became manifest, and thus he felt free from all material contaminations. So the living entity in this world, by association with the three modes of material nature and by association with so many material desires one after another, becomes bewildered and becomes contaminated and becomes illusioned, and then is running after so many things which are not relevant to one's true self, on the spirit soul. You know? So there are some amazing verses in the Bhagavad Gita. So when Arjuna remembered Bhagavad Gita, and he was very fortunate. Also, some people say that, well, why was, you know, Arjuna, he was a great, you know, he was a great devotee of the Lord, a personal associate, and he came from a very elevated family, and he had all good qualifications. So how come he became bewildered? So just like in the Lord's pastimes, when Krishna wants to fight, the demons are not up to the job, you know. So Krishna has to bring his own devotees to play the role, you know. So, you know, so like Arjuna, Krishna put him into bewilderment just so that he could speak the Bhagavad Gita to him. And Arjuna is actually, he's a liberated soul, but he's taking this role of becoming bewildered and also losing his mind to some degree. Just to enact the role of, so that we can be taught Bhagavad Gita. So some people say, well, oh, the Bhagavad Gita was spoken, you know, just over 5,000 years ago on Kurukshetra, and it was meant for Arjuna, you know. We don't need to worry about it. It was for Arjuna because he was losing it, you know. but Arjuna, he was okay, you know, he was displaying the role, but we are the ones that are losing it. And we are the ones that Bhagavad Gita is meant for. You know? So so in the purport, Prabhupada is mentioning Bhagavad Gita. So I thought we'll pick a few verses from Bhagavad Gita and just recite a few interesting verses which are in relationship to this topic here. So this one is 241. Does anyone know what 241 is? There you go, I told you it was Pandit. Yeah, right. Vyavyasatmika buddhir ekeha kurunandana bahushakai anantascha buddhayo vyavyasainam. Those who are on this path are resolute in purpose and their aim is one. O beloved child of the Kurus, the intelligence of those who are irresolute is many-branched. So that's a very interesting verse. It says that those who are on this path are resolute in purpose, and those whose intelligence is many, whose intelligence of those who are irresolute is many branched. So, I had this example of a hose pipe. You know, I don't know if there's any gardeners here. You know, we've got a botanist here. You know, in Cyrus, but like. So if you have a hose pipe and you're going to water the garden, but there are many holes along the pipe, so at the end, you only get a dribble, you know. because all the water's coming out with the other holes. But in a hose pipe, that there's no hole apart from the hole that's meant to be there at the end. Then you get a strong flow of water. So similarly, here in this verse, it's saying that those who are on this path are resolute in purpose and their aim is one, ekeha. You know? And, oh, beloved child of Guru, the intelligent, those who is irresolute is many branches. So then those people who are irresolute, they put their energy into so many different things that actually they don't have any potency, you know. They can't get anything together. So here Krishna is telling Arjuna that ekeha kurunanda, you know, kurunandan, don't worry about, you know, all the different things and so many arguments and who's on the battlefield and what's going to happen and what's not going to happen. Just do your duty, you know. So then fix on that and then everything will be fine, you know. Otherwise, for us, in everyday life, there's so many things to worry about, so many considerations to take in and this and that. So, but if we just take the instructions from Guru, Sadhu and Shastra, and we take the instructions from Lord Krishna, and we execute those, then we'll become resolute in purpose, and our energies won't be diluted. So, this another verse is 244. Or 16 minutes to 3, isn't it? 2:44. Okay. All right, so I know Sutapa knows them all, so... But, okay, Bhogeshwarya Pashaktanam Taya Parita Chetasam Vyavyasatmika Buddhi Samado Na Vidhiyate. In the minds of those who are too attached to sense enjoyment and material opulence and who are bewildered by such things, the resolute determination for devotional service to the Supreme Lord does not take place. And that's a very powerful verse because sometimes people are saying, you know, well, I'm doing so many things. I've been around devotees for, you know, so many years and I don't seem to be getting anywhere, you know. So, you know, as if like, you know, the anchor is down, you know. So they said the wedding party was rowing all night, but in the morning they realized they didn't take the anchor up. So they didn't get anywhere. So Bhogeshwarya. So sometimes one time actually I was listening to Shruti Prabhu and he was giving class and he said somebody asked a question. They said, you know I'm chanting, I'm doing this, I'm doing that, but why am I not feeling I'm making progress, you know? So then Shruti Prabhu gave an example. He said Socrates, he had one disciple, and well, he probably had many disciples or students, call them students, you know. And then this student wanted to know how he wasn't really getting hold of the knowledge and he wasn't really, you know, advancing as fast as others, you know. So then Socrates said, "Oh, you come with me." They took him to the seaside, and the student thought that he's going to give some philosophical statement, you know, about the sky and the ocean and this. But then Socrates, he put his head under the water, and he held his head underneath for a while, and then he let his head up. So he was breathing, and he was thinking, "Well, what did you do that for?" So then Socrates said, when you were under the water, when your head was under the water, what were you thinking of? He said, I was just thinking about being able to breathe air, you know. He said, were you thinking of anything else? No. He said, well, when you become that fixed on making progress, that you fix completely, you only want that, then you'll make very fast progress. But when you want so many other things, then it's very slow progress because the energies are diverted, you know. So he almost drowned, but he did learn a lesson. But he didn't forget that one. Anyway, that one's from Shruti Prabhu. You know? So anyone know chapter two? That particular verse. So Bhogeshwarya Pashakranam, in the mind of those who are too attached to sense enjoyment and material opulence, the resolute determination for devotional service doesn't take place. Because their energies become sidetracked, you know. So they get caught up and then they lose. So then chapter 2, verse 49, Sam, no? Prash, you've been studying Bhagavad Gita, haven't you? Okay. Dure nahi avaram karma buddhi yoga dananjaya buddho sarnam avanicha kripana palahetava. O Dhananjaya, keep all abominable activities far distant by devotional service, and in that consciousness surrender unto the Lord. Those who want to enjoy the fruits of their work are misers. So, O Dhananjaya, keep all abominable activities far distant by devotional service. So this is very powerful. All these verses are very powerful because they're spoken by the Supreme Lord. So how do we keep ourselves protected from abominable activities and abominable thoughts? It's simply by keeping Krishna in our thoughts, words, and deeds. You know? So I said to one devotee, I said, if you're always hearing about Krishna, then you'll always be safe, you'll always be protected, you're under this transcendental umbrella. The moment you stop hearing, then the mind comes in, very subtly at first, and then you suddenly drift off, and then you're on to some dangerous things, you know. So if you're always hearing, then you'll always be here, you know. So if you don't hear, you won't be here, you know. So it says, 250. Do you know that? Okay. Buddhi yukta jahati ha ubresu krite duskrite tasma yoga yujasva yoga karma shukoshalam. A man engaged in devotional service rids himself of both good and bad actions, even in this life. Therefore, strive for yoga, O Arjuna, which is the art of all work. So what does yoga mean? The yoga word comes from the word yoke. It means to link with the Supreme. So of course nowadays, yoga has become very popular. So people think they do some, you know, bending or some exercises or some stretching and they call it yoga. Yes, it's one aspect of yoga, but the real yoga is actually connecting with the Supreme. So a man engaged in devotional service rids himself of both good and bad actions. Even in this life, so strive for yoga. So if somebody were to say, well, I can understand getting rid of the, you know, bad actions, but what about the good ones? Ian, how would you answer that? Sorry? Yeah, so if you perform bad activities, you have to suffer the reactions, come back and suffer. But if you perform materially good activities, not transcendental, but materially good activities, then you also have to come back to enjoy the results of that. And while you're back, then you can become entangled again. So it's saying actually, therefore, we have to transcend this both material good and bad. You know, because Prabhupada said, in this world, you know, this material good, material bad, it's all bad. Because it binds you to this world, you know, either one way or the other. You know? So like a coin, you know, it has two sides, you know. So like somebody, they say, well, you know, I'm averse to this, you know. So this aversion, the opposite side of that is attachment, you know. So if one is indifferent, that's another category, you know. Sometimes they used to, when there were weddings here, there was a, like Rolls Royces, you would come here, and then, so if I went up to the Rolls Royce and said, I renounce it, you know. So people would laugh and would say, well, it's not yours to renounce. But we can't renounce what's not ours, but we can renounce our false conception that it's ours. So what's really ours, you know? You know, we come empty-handed, and what do we take with us, you know? We only take the results of our activities. You know? So nothing's really ours. And today, because it's Srila Prabhupada's anniversary of Srila Prabhupada taking sannyas, I've got a few interesting verses that Srila Prabhupada wrote in a very nice poem. It's called Vrindavan Bhajan. Anybody read that you've read it, Vrindavan Bhajan. There's 27 verses. I won't read all 27, but I've picked some verses from there, and those verses actually explain about what's really ours, you know, in this world, you know. So that's interesting. Okay, so let's have a look here. Okay. So she chapter 2, text 55. Any offers on that one? Okay. Without the Google. Sri Bhagavan Vacha Prajahati Yadakaman Savan Pata Manogatan Atmani Evatmana Tushta Stita Pragyas Taduchate. The Supreme Personality of Godhead said, O Pata, when a man gives up all varieties of desire for sense gratification which arise from mental concoction, and when his mind thus purified finds satisfaction in the self alone, then he is said to be in pure transcendental consciousness. So this, these material desires coming into the mind, they are like, you know, rivers coming into the ocean. You know, so many rivers are flowing into the ocean, but the ocean is not disturbed by them. You know? So then Krishna is teaching Arjuna and all of us to how to remain fixed in transcendental consciousness and not become disturbed or deviated by the varieties of desires for sense gratification that come into the mind. So we can... the Lord of the senses is Rishikesh. So if we utilize our senses in the service of the Lord of the senses, then automatically the senses become controlled. You know. So Prabhupada said, tongue, belly, and genitals. So he said, if the tongue is used for tasting only Krishna Prasad, and not overeating it, and also for chanting the holy name of the Lord, then naturally the other senses will be controlled. You know? So, okay. Okay, so this is the last one of the verses from the Bhagavad Gita that I wanted to speak on here. And then we'll go on to the second part, which is, I'll speak a little bit about Srila Prabhupada taking sannyas. And for anybody that's feeling a little bit drowsy, I've got a few questions. You know? So, Nashtir Buddhi, this is 266. Nashtir Buddhi Ayuktasya Na Cha Yuktasya Bhavana Na Cha Bhava Yata Shantir Ashantasya Kuta Sukham. So this is a very beautiful verse. It says, one who is Haribo Sishirada Gokulananda Diki Jaya Chishitaram Lakshmananaman Kita Chishigor Nitai Kita Shila Prabhupada Ki Jaya. One who is not connected with the Supreme in Krishna consciousness can have neither transcendental intelligence nor a steady mind, without which there is no possibility of peace. You know? And how can there be any happiness without peace? Do you ever hear somebody saying, well, I'm happy, but I'm not peaceful? Yeah. So if there's no peace, there's no question of happiness. So he says, one who's not connected with the Supreme in Krishna consciousness can have neither transcendental intelligence nor a steady mind, without which there's no possibility of peace. And how can there be any happiness without peace? So the secret is explained here. That, so if one connected with the Supreme in Krishna consciousness, then one can have transcendental intelligence, and then one can also be peaceful and happy. You know? So Prabhupada gives the peace formula. Who knows the peace formula? Yeah? Who knows the translation? Prabhupada's going to give the translation. Give it in your own words. Yeah. Yeah.
The Lord of all the planets and the demigods obtains peace from the pains of the material existence.
Yeah, so it's like everyone's going along, and if they are thinking that I'm the center, I'm the enjoyer, I'm the controller, I'm the Lord of all I survey, you know, if everybody's going along, they're all thinking the same thing, then there's never going to be any peace. So just like we have a lake there, So if I throw a handful of pebbles into the lake, then there's multiple ripples and they're all colliding with each other. If I throw one pebble, then it's uniform ripples. There's no collision, you know. So if we accept that Krishna is the Supreme Lord, he's the Supreme Enjoyer, the Supreme Controller, the Supreme Proprietor, the Supreme Beneficiary of all sacrifices, and the Supreme Friend, then there is not a problem, you know. But if we think, well, I want to be that Supreme, and the guy next to me, he wants to be Supreme, or she wants to be Supreme, we all want to be, then there's a problem there. And that's, then there's not going to be any peace. You know? So people fight over a tract of land, you know. The land was there before they came, and the land will be there after they go. So who does the land belong to? So, but because of attachment, then they forget, you know. So, where we go? Okay, so I'm going to ask a few questions. Let's have a look here. Okay, so what year, hands up if you got the answer, what year did Srila Prabhupada take his birth? Hands up. 1896, okay, yeah. Anyway, we're not taking points off today, but you... you would have been in minus. I said, okay, anyway. And then, what was the 1896? What was the actual month and day? Abhay?
Was it August
20th? No. Sorry? September. Who said that? What day? First, you got it. Well done. Okay, September 1st, 1986. And which city? Was it Vrindavan? Was it New York? Or was it Calcutta? Okay, and then... yeah, it kind of be in New York. So, 19... okay. What major event took place in Srila Prabhupada's life in 1922? No, he didn't take sannyas. Yeah, He met for the first time his divine Grace Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Goswami Maharaj, who he accepted at that point in his heart as his spiritual master. So then, what happened in 1933? Yeah, so that was 11 years after. And what was the place, and the place that he got initiated in, the city? Sorry? Allahabad, yeah. And then what date did Srila Prabhupada start Back to Godhead magazine? 1944. And do you know the month and the day? and the hour. No, anyway, these are important facts, you know. Back to Godhead magazine. You got to know something about going back to Godhead, you know. So, 14th of February, you know. So, and then, Srila Prabhupada accepted sannyasa, he accepted vanaprastha what year? 55? No. I mean, any more? Yay! No, did you know that? Did you hazard a guess? Okay. Anyway. Good. Yeah, so it was 1951 Srila Prabhupada accepted vanaprastha. And then, can anybody name Srila Prabhupada's first disciple? You got it right, yeah. And what city was that in? Who said Jhansi? Okay, Jhansi, okay. So actually, Srila Prabhupada, he wanted to establish the League of Devotees in Jhansi, and he had been allocated the building, and he made all plans, he wrote down the whole, everything that you needed. But then the governor who was giving the building, his wife decided that she wanted that building for a sewing club. So then everything was finished, you know. So this happened to Prabhupada in his life so many times through his life. So many things went wrong, you know. He was destined to be one of the richest and most successful businessmen in India. At one point, it was heading that way, but then it all went haywire. It went wayward, you know. Okay, so what year did Srila Prabhupada move to Vrindavan? Ian, you know? 59? No. 57? No. No. So what was that? What, 50 what? 56. You're right. Was that a guess, yeah? No. Oh, you read it. Oh, she's been doing Leela Amrita, hasn't she? So that's it. So 1956, and what happened? Okay, what year did Srila Prabhupada take sannyas then? Okay, and where did he take sannyas? In where? Yeah, Keshavji Gaudiya Math in Mathura. And who was the name? What was the name of his godbrother that gave him sannyas? What was his first name? Bhakti what? Yeah, Bhakti Pragyan Keshav Maharaj, yeah. And then Srila Prabhupada, he started publishing his volume 1, 2, and 3 of Srimad Bhagavatam, first canto. So, how many years is it since Srila Prabhupada took sannyas? Have you got any mathematicians amongst us? 61. Wow, you were an accountant, weren't you? Right, you got it. Yeah, you got that one right. Yeah. Okay. So, the Prabhupada, he wrote this. It's called Vrindavan Bhajan, and I'll read some verses from it. There are 27 verses. So, if you do manage to get some time, if you read through that. This was very, very early in 1958. He wrote this, you know, 1 year before he took sannyas, and you know, he had left home because his wife had pawned his manuscript for Bhagavad Gita for tea or tea biscuits. So, you know, it doesn't make much difference, you know. So then he decided, okay, that it was time. Of course, his children were grown up then. So Srila Prabhupada writes this. Srila Prabhupada wrote the following poem in Bengali while living alone in his humble rooms overlooking the Radha Damodar courtyard in Vrindavan, where the six Goswamis used to take prasadam and discuss Vaishnava philosophy, written in 1958 before he left for America. This historic poem was published in December of the same year in the Gaudiya Patrika, the magazine of the Gaudiya Vedanta Samiti. So verse 1. So this, if you can listen carefully, it's really powerful, really, really powerful. It says, I am sitting alone in Vrindavan Dham. In this mood, I am getting many realizations. I have my wife, sons, daughters, sons, everything. But I have no money, so they are a fruitless glory. Krishna has shown me the naked form of material nature. By his strength, it has all become tasteless to me today. Yasyaham anugrihinami harishye tad dhanam shanai. I gradually take away all the wealth, those upon whom I am merciful. How was I able to understand this mercy of the All-Merciful? You know? Everyone has abandoned me, seeing me as penniless, wife, relatives, friends, brothers, everyone. This is misery, but it gives me a laugh. I sit alone and laugh in this Maya Samsara. Whom do I really love? Where have all my loving father and mother gone now? And where are all my elders, who are my own folk? Who will give me news of them? Tell me who. All that is left of this family is a list of names. Like the froth on the sea water mixes again in the sea, Maya's samsara's play is just like that. No one is mother or father or personal relative. Just like the sea foam, they remain but a short time. Just as the froth on the sea water mixes again in the sea, the body made of five elements meets with destruction. How many bodies does the embodied soul take in this way? His relatives are all simply related to the temporary body. But everyone is your relative, brother, on the spiritual platform. The relationship is not tainted with the smell of Maya. The Supreme Lord is the soul of everyone. In relation to him, everyone in the universe is the same. All your relatives, brothers, all the billions of jivas. When seen in relation to Krishna, they are all in harmony. Forgetting Krishna, the jiva desires for sense gratification, and as a result, he is firmly grasped by Maya. As a result of past activities, he takes on different types of body. Absorbed in that dress, he remains forgetful of Sri Hari. Therefore, Maya gives him so many kinds of miseries, and although he bobs up and down in the ocean of misery, he still thinks that he is happy. Lying on a bed, suffering greatly, having been sick a long time, "I am very well today," he says, laughing. He said, "I get a laugh out of his feeling very well." You know, this is the way the soul conditioned by Maya feels well. How many plans they have to remain well, but time and time again nature destroys them. Devi hiye shigunamayi, that is the Supreme Lord's Maya. Try to understand exactly the meaning of their wealth, feeling well. No one is well in the whole world, but still they are saying, in this way, Maya cheats the conditioned soul. But ignoring that, he is being cheated. He remains absorbed in Maya, and although Maya kicks him, he will not give up his mistaken conception. And this is the last verse that I'm going to read today. And again, making plans, again and again, they are destroyed. Sometimes he falls on the dry earth and sometimes in the mud. In this way, the universe is filled with wandering jiva souls who finally, by the grace of Guru and Krishna, get bhakti, the eternal wealth. Getting that wealth, if they can give up all other so-called wealth, then very easily he crosses over the ocean of samsara. There, on the other side, is unparalleled spiritual variegatedness. There he enjoys in eternal happiness and peace. So this is Srila Prabhupada before he took sannyas, and he had so many things in his life, his family, his business and friends and so many things, and wealth, everything was gone, you know. So he was just sitting and reciting some verses and remembering verse from Bhagavatam, Hari Sheta Dhanam Shanai, remembering Hari, and then seeing how the illusory energy works. Very, very powerful verses. So like this Vrindavan Bhajan, 1958. If you get a chance, it's 27 verses. It's a lot of nectar there. So there were some other things, but the time is getting short. So sometimes in our life, we are thinking, where is Krishna, you know? Where is Krishna, you know? You know, sometimes we're going through upheavals. Where is Krishna? So I just remembered one story. It's one of our Bhakti Vriksha members, very active member. His name is Snehal. Me and Sutapa went to see him once when he was very, very ill in hospital, and he was close to leaving his body. Anyway, one time me and Narayan, we were just out visiting people, and I'd never met Snehal before in my life and never been there. Somehow or other, he must have given a donation or something. His address came up, so we were in that area. So we decided, okay, well, let's go. We knocked on his door one evening, and then he opened the door. He was very surprised to see us. We'd never been. I didn't know him. He didn't know me. But Narayan Prabhu was with me, so we sat down, and then he. What had happened is he had got colon cancer, and that day. He had been to the doctor and he had got the diagnosis, so he was completely devastated. And he hadn't even told his father, and he was so shocked. He basically could die in a short time, you know. So then, maybe an hour after he arrived home, we knocked on the door. He was completely devastated. He didn't even tell his father. He was just like completely blown, you know, the report from the doctor. So then somehow or other, Krishna sent us there. We just knocked on his door, you know. And then we came in and we gave prasad, and then he told us, and then we spoke about, you know, the temporary nature of this world and the temporary nature of the body and the eternality of the soul. And we discussed so many things. So then later on he said, you know, that Krishna just sent you at that time, you know, you didn't even know me, you know. And, you know, we didn't even know him, he didn't know us, but Krishna sent us to that house at that time when he was really down. He was really down and he really needed help. And somehow or other, he said, he felt uplifted then, you know. And then he went through many different challenges. So me and Sutapa went to see him, and he's in hospital, and his heart rate was like down to 30%, and the doctors were thinking he's on the border, he can leave his body, you know. But he was praying to Krishna. He said, please get me well so I can come and do my service at Bhaktivedanta Manor. We used to do service at the Gaushala. So anyway, Krishna made him well, you know. So he many, many interesting realizations. So then Krishna's always there. He's always looking out for us, you know. But we're not looking for him some of the time, you know. But he's always there. So I think I will stop there. If there's any questions or any comments or any corrections, and then Antaranga Prabhu, he wants to have a few minutes to promote Srimad Bhagavatam or distribute Bhagavatam to someone. So are there any comments or any questions or any corrections? Any objections? Yeah. Ian Prabhu.
Thank you so much for the class, Prabhu. It was really, really nice class. I just had a question. You know, the verses you're reading from Bhagavad Gita, they somewhat denote that if we, you know, fully take to the process, then, you know, all the much, and we focus on the goal, then our material desires will really, like, be diminished. The question I just had was, since when material bodies still, do they get diminished fully or do they just subside?
Oh, you mean like as long as we have a material body?
Yeah, so long as we're still entrapped in this cage, is there still, yeah, do we, yeah, oh, yeah.
Yeah, so the body is the vehicle. Just like they say, like iron, if you take an iron rod and you put it in fire and you leave it in fire long enough, then it becomes like fire. It becomes transcendentalized, you know. So a pure devotee of the Lord, you know, even his body becomes completely, fully engaged in Krishna's service, so becomes purified. So the body is there and the senses are there, but by engaging the senses in the service of the master of the senses, then we can become completely purified. You know? So it's not, oh, because I've got a material body that I have to have material thoughts. There's no resolution in that regard. You know? Yeah, it's like I'm using a car, so the car is made of metal and rubber and glass and so many things. But when I sit in the car, I can sing Hare Krishna. You know, I don't have to, you know, just I'm the car. You know, I don't have to listen to Radio One. You know, okay. Prabhupada.
Prabhupada, in his transcendental calendar, he, it's a quote there. He says, "Failure is the pillar for success." You know, and it's a very nice one. Because it's a sort of a lesson, isn't it? That's what Prabhupada just somehow, he was the epitome of that.
Yeah, so there were like so many things went wrong in Prabhupada's life. Yeah. You know, he lost his business, his family, everything that possibly could go wrong went wrong, you know. So he didn't break his faith and he didn't give up, you know. So they say failure is the pillar of success. So if you have a lot of pillars, you'll have a very strong house. You know?
Yeah.
So there's nothing negative about spiritual life. It's all positive, you know. So even, you know, if something doesn't go the way that you want it to go, you can either get upset, you know, it didn't happen for me and that, you know. Or you can see, well, what can I learn from that? What did Krishna want me to learn from that? And then you can grow, you know. You can... You have to grow through life, you know. So then, if you learn the lessons and you see Krishna's hand is in there somewhere, if you accept Krishna's hand in there somewhere, then it's perfect, you know. Even if it appears to be very difficult, but if you can't see Krishna's hand in there, then no matter how nice it looks, it's a disaster. Thank you very much for that. Hare Krishna. So, where's Antaranga? Okay, he wanted to present this thing. So anyway, while Antaranga comes, there's Srila, Srila, okay, are you ready? Okay, before you do that, let me just read one verse from Prabhupada's poem that he wrote in 1936 as Srila Prabhupada's, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati's Vyasa Puja offering. So he says, "Forgotten Krishna, we fallen souls, paying most heavy the illusions told, darkness all around, all untraced, the only hope, His divine grace." Yeah. So after Prabhupada did that poem, he was called Kavi by his godbrothers, and then he was given the title Bhakti Vedanta. Okay, so okay, fine.
Sorry, Krishna. As I've been making an announcement last few days, today is Bhadra Purnima, and also as Prabhupada was mentioning, Prabhupada was taking sannyas on this auspicious day. So on this day, there was one lady, one Mataji, and she was very inspired by the videos that Abhi Mataji was kind of facilitating here in the Bhaktivedanta Mana, and she donated a Srimad Bhagavatam set to her. So on this very auspicious day of Bhadra Purnima, we would like to request Abhi Mataji to step forward and accept this wonderful gift of Srimad Bhagavatam on the golden throne. We didn't want to open the box because I think that would be unpractical, but what we put also a very special book on top, that's Sutapa's book Bhagavat. So in this way, you're still receiving Srimad Bhagavatam, yeah. So if you can please step forward and Godruma Prabhu, if you can deliver the set, please.
So Abhi is going to be going to Wales and on the 10th of next month, or this month actually, so 9 days. So anyway, she's going to have to do some press-ups so that she can able to lift the box, you know. So this is heavy, it's heavy with nectar, you know. Srimad Bhagavatam, you know, to weigh down with transcendental knowledge, you know? So please come and accept your Srimad Bhagavatam. Haribo! Grantharaj Srimad Bhagavatam ki. Abhi Mataji ki. Haribo. So you're very fortunate. So you were preaching and you were helping people, and then Krishna decided that, okay, you might as well have one as well then. You see? So that's Lord Chaitanya, that when you're distributing Krishna consciousness and you're sharing Krishna consciousness, then you're never in a deficit. You know, when you give out Krishna, then you get Krishna. So this is proof. Hare Krishna.
Would you like to deliver the throne, please, to Mataji, if possible? Haribo! Hare Krishna.
Okay, so
I will help with the Bhagavatam.
You will help
it's
with
it's
it,
too heavy. Yeah, so. I might need help with that. Okay, thank you so much.
Hare Krishna.